We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We're here in February 2018, and it is rapidly moving along. And we just are thankful that we are spending this time of year in Florida. I don't know about you, but when the Super Bowl took place this last week, and they were talking about the weather leading up into that and how it was like 7 degrees with wind chills in the negative blows, that doesn't sound like any place that I want to be. Doesn't sound like any place I want to be at all. And so we are truly blessed to be here in Florida. Thank you for making the Refresh radio program part of your day right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we look forward to what God is going to do in this program. We have been talking for some time about the fruit of the Spirit. We're in the midst of a series on this progressing, this growing relationship that we have as we abide in the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, that we begin to produce the fruit that God wants to produce in us. And that comes from that vibrant connectivity that we have with Him, where He is not just operating in us on an external basis. That's not the way that you produce fruit. You produce fruit when the things that are for fruit production are taking place on the outside as well as on the inside, where the leaves are soaking up the sunlight and they're absorbing the nutrients or the water that comes down, and the ground is sending nutrients up through the root system and in through the branches. And then the plant itself, because everything is connected and working towards the goal for which the plant exists in the first place, it begins to bud, to blossom, and to produce fruit. And you are no exception. As a child of the living God, God working on you, in you, and through the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, He will make you fruitful for the purpose that God has in store for you. Do want to let you know about the events that are coming up this coming Sunday. We have our missions emphasis on Sunday morning. Gary Kellner will be our speaker. He will be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Sunday morning, we are going to be reaching. We're going to be stretching our faith to believe that God will use Merritt Assembly of God to touch the world. This last Sunday, we had a missionary that was with us. They came and they brought a video. And it was unlike any video that I've probably set in thousands of mission services. And in this video, they brought a recording of people who had been touched and transformed by the power of God. And in that video, they had written a song and were singing a song saying, "Thank you for everything that you have done to make the gospel a reality for us in our lives." And that was a powerful moment. For me, that's a little bit of a taste of heaven, because my object is not just to go to heaven by myself. My responsibility, my job, is to make sure that there are as few people who miss that opportunity as I can possibly achieve. And so we want to take the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we can. And so we are actively reaching and stretching and desiring for the things of God to become a reality. In generationally speaking, and societally speaking, you know what? We have some people at Merit Assembly of God who are retired. We got quite a few that are retired. We've got some that are just beginning their occupational career. We've got kids. We've got people who are in the prime of their occupational life. And we just want to create a spiritual family. And so whenever we hear the opportunity to reach out and minister to someone in the community who just needs a friend, needs someone to be there, that's the person that we want to reach. And so this coming Sunday, we're going to be reaching to accomplish that goal in 2018 of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to our community here and from here all the way around the world. The radio program is part of that ministry. You can listen to WMIE just about any place in the world. Unless they censor this station, you can pick it up wherever you are, or wherever there's an internet connection, let's put it that way. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 10. So we're talking about this fruit of faithfulness. And this is going to sound like an odd thing. This teaching today will not necessarily be an easy teaching, but it will be a worthwhile teaching. So if you can join us Sunday, before I get into this, we would like to welcome you to that. Verse number 8 of Revelation chapter 2. We got one more lesson on faithfulness tomorrow, and then we will be moving on beginning next Monday. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8, and it says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty." Listen to this testimony. "But you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Nobody wants to hear that. But the great thing about God is he prepares his church for the things that are coming. Okay? Listen to this. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." And today I want to talk to you. We've discussed a lot of different applications about faithfulness. But here, these are the words of Jesus to to John, the disciple John, as he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he says to the church in Smyrna, "Be faithful unto death." Be faithful unto death. Now, I want to, demystify a little bit that concept of death. The concept of death means separation. Death would in for our biological body be a separation from life. It's a separation of our lungs from oxygen. It's that sort of separation. But you and I, once we are a child of God, you cannot separate our spirit from he who is the life. We have been united together with him who is the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life, the one who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so he says, "Be faithful unto death." That would be a faithfulness that says no matter what persecution looks like, no matter how long it endures. That means be faithful no matter what is taking place in the government. Can I just tell you this? I have been a Christian most of my life. I have been a Christian and seen God's faithfulness when the economy was bad, and I've seen God's faithfulness when the economy was good. I have seen God's faithfulness when those in political office were not faithful, and I've seen God's faithfulness when there were people who were professing believers in the house of God, and, you know, for the most part, their testimony lined up. I don't put my confidence in any human representative, not to the extent that I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Because any time you get your eyes lowered from God onto a human being, it's not going to be long before their imperfections, their warts, their blemishes, all of those things show up. But when I get my eyes upon the faithfulness of God, I realize that no matter what storm comes, no matter how intense the waves build, no matter how fiercely the winds blow, no matter how volatile the circumstances get, it is not that God is so far away. It is the fact that he is so very near. I've told you how, you know, probably not often, but I've mentioned it here on this program before, that Bette Midler sings a song that just drives me crazy, that it says, God is watching from a distance, and from a distance, everything looks very peaceful and calm and tranquil. But if you were, you know, if God were just a little closer, he would see the ugliness that is going on with war and oppression and injustice and things like that. And I want you to know, God's not blind. God's not even limited by some of the limitations that we have. God's faithful. God's aware. And God's on the throne. And one of the rules that I operate in my life by is I try and keep my eyes upon God, and until he starts to panic, I'm not going to panic. You know, when my wife and I got married, I never thought that we would be spending our ministry so close to the beach. And prior to meeting me, my wife had never been west of the Mississippi. And then, you know, we ended up living in Oklahoma. We ended up living in Texas. And then we ended up moving to Florida. So on our honeymoon, I took her to the beach. And I was the one who had flown quite a bit. And in one of the flights, the plane made a noise that in all my flights, I had never heard it make before. And I blew it on this occasion. I'm just going to tell you, I blew it. That no more than did the plane start making a noise that I'd never heard a plane make before, but it immediately started making a U-turn and headed back the way that we came. And I said, you know, there's something wrong, because we're headed back to the airport. Well, we weren't headed back to the airport. We were just headed for our destination, which was the opposite direction of the runway that we had taken off of. And I created panic in my brand new, newlywed wife. I created panic in her life because I thought I was the expert. And I should have just trusted the pilot. And if there was a problem, the pilot would have come on there and he would have made us aware of that. Now, I tell you that because there are a lot of people who not only panic themselves, but they end up creating panic in other people. And humanity has this really bad habit of having a herd dynamic. When it talks about us being sheep, you should do a Google search on mass stampedes of sheep where they just run off a cliff and they all just follow one another right to their death. It's not a good thing. So we need to keep our eyes on God, and my rule is this: I don't panic until I see God panicking, and since he doesn't panic, I'm not going to panic either. So here it says, be faithful unto death. Now, when God said in the beginning of Genesis, let there be light, there wasn't a discussion between all of the molecules and all of the atoms. They didn't take a vote and say, well, we don't, you know, there's never been light before. No, they just came into obedience to what Creator God had said, and all of a sudden there was light. And God has an amazing number of varieties in which light has exists here on this earth and in the heavens. You know, there's gas, there's electric, there's all sorts of bioluminescence, there's solar light and all of those sorts of things that are going on. And God did all of that with a word. Do you realize that in Hebrews chapter 11, let me just take the, you know, turn over there so I can read it for you, that the very first, well, one of the very first things, it says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, which so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You see, faith in God as the creator is right there at the beginning of the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to take that same faith in Creator God and realize that the God who said, let there be light, is now commanding the church to be faithful. Be faithful, not just in good times. I will be honest with you. There, being faithful in good times can be a challenge. Being faithful in challenging times, Christians don't even really like to embrace the possibility of that. Jesus was writing to this church, and the devil was trying to convince them of their poverty, and Jesus was testifying of their wealth. He said, I know your poverty, but you are rich. He knew that they had true riches. And he prepares them for the persecution that is coming, the trials that are coming, the testings that are coming, and he speaks into their life and says, be faithful unto death. He says, be holy even as I am holy. And so there's a responsibility on my part to do everything I can to be holy because he's holy and to be faithful because he's holy. But I need to realize also that there is a power and an authority behind the declaration that can make it a reality in my life. So it's not impossible for you to be holy. It is not impossible for you to be faithful. And he says, be faithful even to the point that your physical body is separated from the oxygen, the blood flow that this world uses to define life. Be faithful even to that point. Be faithful to Jesus Christ even when society is lashing out at you simply because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And please do not make the mistake and think that persecution does not exist, because there are people who are being martyred for their faith at a in greater multitudes in our day and time than ever in the history of mankind. We may not see it here in America, but you know, you do see it from time to time in church shootings. You will see it from time to time because pastors end up getting attacked because of their faith. You will see people being sued because of their faith here in America. But in some parts of the world, they will take away your livelihood. They will take away everything that you own and shun you from your family simply because you are a child of God. And Jesus says, be faithful. There is something that I've got in store for you that this world cannot take away. There's an old song that said, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. What does Jesus have to say? He says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. There is a reward for the children of God who are not only declaring faithfulness, not only producing faithfulness, but they are living faithfulness even in adverse conditions. And I want you to know that Jesus has a crown for you, and it is called the crown of life. And he says, if you've got an ear, hear, because it's not a man that is saying this. This is God the Holy Spirit that is quickening this word, and he's just looking for a person that has an ear. You will never regret in all eternity being faithful unto God. You know, I don't live with many regrets. There are some. I mean, I please don't think that I'm perfect or anything like that, or don't think my wife's perfect or my kids are perfect. We all got issues. I remember hearing a preacher saying one time, you know, you got stuff, I got stuff, all God's children got stuff. I got issues, you got issues, all God's children got issues. The things that I regret are not the things that I have done for God, done with God. The things I regret are the opportunities that were presented to me and I didn't take advantage of them. And, you know, yesterday I preached on the faithfulness of God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of that stuff, and he does. But I will also tell you that those were great life lessons. And as my Sunday school teachers, Tim and Jerry Garrison, say, God doesn't waste anything. So I haven't wasted those lessons, and I don't want to miss those opportunities. So I want to be faithful because we will receive a crown of life. The Winter Olympics are getting ready to come on. You know, the Winter Olympics didn't really exist back in the days when they had the Olympics in Greece during Paul's time. They did have Olympic Games, and they would compete. They would compete for a crown. They would do rigorous training so that they could win the prize. And that prize was a little piece of greenery that they would snip away from the base, and they would weave it, and they would make a crown out of it, and they would give it to the person who had completed the task better than anybody else had within the rules. But if you have ever done that, and I did this one time when I was preaching a series on the crowns at Merit Assembly of God. I went out, I found a vine, and I fashioned a wreath out of it, and I did it when it was brand new green. I mean, I just went out there, snipped it, formed it in there, and it was, I believe, a 4 or 5 or 6 week message series at that point in time. And by the time we got to the last sermon, the wreath was no longer vibrant and green. It was no longer flexible and pliable, but instead it was brown, it was dead, it was brittle, and the leaves were falling off. There are a lot of people who are using this life to try and win a prize that is just as fleeting as that crown that ancient athletes would compete for. There are people who will have trained all of their life for these events over the that they'll be competing in for the next few weeks. And all honesty, some of them will win a gold medal, and for them, it will be a life achievement. But it will not be long before they fade into the history books and nobody really remembers who they are. I challenge you, I could probably pull out an event and go back and say, who won this medal? And unless you Googled it, you probably would not be able to remember. But I want to challenge you, church, that we are in a competition to live a faithful life in an unfaithful world. And Jesus promises that there is a victor's crown, a crown of life, for those who will allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of faithfulness in them. And this crown of life will not wither. It will not fade. You will not be forgotten. You will be celebrated in heaven as a faithful witness. Be faithful. Don't say, you know, one of these days I will be faithful. That is a procrastinator's promise that never comes true. Today, on this Thursday, say, God, I might have blown it yesterday, but today you are going to be my faithful strength. And I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful in church. I want to be faithful in my home. I want to be faithful at work. I want to be faithful in my finances. And I want to be faithful when it's easy, but even when it's challenging, God, I want to be faithful because I want that crown of life to be seen, not just for myself, but so that others will see it and say, where can I get one of those? And it's very simple. You ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you start living with the supply of God as the reality of your existence. And you say, I'm going to be faithful on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to be faithful when I'm young, and I'm going to be faithful when I'm old. Long time ago, I said, I don't want to be a cranky old man. God said, then don't be a cranky young man. If you want to be a faithful old man, be a faithful young man. Be faithful today. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.